I don't know. Let me see if I could turn the lights up. Maybe I... Bagger Vance. I have it, Francine. The Legend of Bagger Vance. So, yes, it's one of my movies. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
All right.
So you know where to get it.
I do.
All right, I'm in the Essence of Ribu Gita, which is not what we're reading. So let me close that book down and get NTI. I'm very slow on the Kindle. Here we go. I also have this Little Black Sambo on here. Remember Little Black Sambo? I have that book now. It was my favorite book when I was like 3 and 4, and then they outlawed it. Because, yeah, and then now it's not outlawed anymore.
Oh, it's not?
No, so I have it.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess somebody decided that maybe the book wasn't bad. It was just the way we were looking at the book.
Oh.
And, you know, and that's true. I don't know if you remember the story of Little Black Sambo. Maybe it's just the title that, you know, that really people objected to. But the story is a great story. It's a story. It's actually an Indian boy from South India, Sambo. And... His parents get him a new outfit, and he's walking along in his new outfit, and a tiger comes up and says, like, give me your jacket or I'm going to eat you, right? And so he gives him his jacket, and another tiger, give me your pants or I'm going to eat you, and his shoes and his umbrella, and each of these different tigers take something. And then the tigers all want what the other tiger has. And so they start chasing each other, trying to get it. They chase each other around and around a tree until they turn to butter. And then Little Black Sambo takes him home, takes the butter home, and his mom puts it on pancakes and eats them. But I think the story is all about pride and greed. It's a pretty good story. But it was my favorite story as a kid, and now I have it on my Kindle. all right, NTI Hebrews chapter 3. All right, I usually say the page number. Let me say that out loud. Page 400. Is that what you guys have? 401 in the paperback. Okay. Be grateful for who you are, for you are all things. In your gratitude for all things, the awakening to all things occurs. You do not sleep in your awareness of truth. You sleep in your forgetfulness. In your awareness, you are awake. In your gratitude, awakefulness is praised. Now, this is interesting where it says, you do not sleep in your awareness of truth, you sleep in your forgetfulness. And last week we had an assignment of watching our mind, whether we were in the right mind or the wrong mind. And if someone had success with that, if you were in the wrong mind but watching your mind, you could not have been completely asleep. Right? Because you were aware. You were watching. There was a thought on truth, a thought on being watchful. You know, when we're completely asleep, we go so into the motion, we're not thinking about truth in any way, shape, or form. Right? So even if the wrong mind came up and we experienced the wrong mind and we experienced confusion and frustration and everything else, but we were also watching it, then we weren't really asleep. It was the awake mind that was watching, right?
That's comforting.
Yeah, it's nice. Sentence 7 says, give thanks for every moment that you experience your awakened state to any degree or measure. I love that sentence. Give thanks for every moment that you experience your awakened state to any degree or measure. So if we had a meltdown, but while the meltdown's happening, we're still remembering to watch it, you know, we're remembering whatever our spiritual practice is, that's a moment to be grateful for. The fact that we were remembering to watch, remembering to rest, accept, and trust, remembering, you know, That's and if you guys remember the movie The Secret that was very, very popular a number of years ago about the law of attraction, you know, one thing they taught us is that if you want the red convertible, you have to sit in the chair, smell the leather, sitting just in your chair in your living room, but you're smelling the leather, imagining the red convertible, you're imagining gripping the steering wheel in your hands, and then you're feeling grateful for having it, right? And they say if you're feeling grateful for envisioning it and you're feeling grateful for having it, then at some point you will have it. Really, Holy Spirit is using the same technique here for awakening. It's saying any degree of wakefulness at all, have gratitude for it. Why? Because whatever you have gratitude for, you attract more of. So if you're like, if you had a meltdown on the golf course last Saturday, but you were being watchful of that, then you want, instead of getting mad at yourself for having a meltdown on the golf course, you want to be grateful for yourself for remembering to watch. You see how that works? Mm-hmm. And so what you're attracting is more of that right mind or more of that watchful mind by being grateful for that. So give thanks for every moment that you experience your awakened state to any degree or measure. Each glimmer and each fluttering of the eyes is a moment that is truly praiseworthy. Fall to your knees in gratitude, and you hasten upon itself the state that is fully awakened. Now, I mentioned last week that Hebrews is referring to a certain state in awakening when, you know, you are in your right mind sometimes, but you are in your wrong mind sometimes. You know, like you're not able to stay in the right mind all the time, and you're going back and forth. And Hebrews likens this to when you're waking up in the morning. If you don't have an alarm that's making you wake right up, if you're kind of waking up, sometimes when we're waking up in the morning, we wake up a little bit, we look at the clock, then we droze a little bit more. You know, then we wake up and we look at the clock and maybe we doze a little bit more. And we're kind of waking up and going back to sleep, but overall, we're waking up. That's what we're doing. Well, that's what Hebrews is saying. It's like when we go into the wrong mind and the right mind and the wrong mind and the right mind. That's a fluttering of the eyes. And we go into the right mind even a little bit. It's kind of like waking up and looking at the clock or looking outside to see if it's daylight yet. You know, the waking up process is starting. And so Holy Spirit is saying each glimmer and each fluttering of the eyes, no matter how little it seems to be, is a moment that is truly praiseworthy. Fall to your knees in gratitude for each fluttering of the eyes, and you hasten upon itself the state that is fully awakened. Again, what we often do is instead of looking for lack of better words, I'm going to say what we're doing right, or instead of looking for the time that we spend in the right mind, we look for the time that we spend in the wrong mind. We look for the time that we are doing wrong, and we chastise ourselves. This is recommending the exact opposite. Don't even worry about when you were in the wrong mind. That's meaningless. But be grateful for any time at all that you were in the right mind, to any degree at all.
And you'll hasten
the awakening.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And you know, so the way I see this is it's really a very positive path of awakening, because you don't even have to give any meaning at all to the wrong mind. It doesn't matter if you were in the wrong mind all week and you only were in the right mind for 5 minutes. The practice is be grateful for that 5 minutes. Right? That's the practice. Verses 7 to 11. Rest the mind that is sleeping, and it shall awaken from its dreams. Gratitude is the way, as is resting. Have gratitude for the state of awakening and rest peacefully any murmurings of dreams. In this way, sleep may be finished and awakening may be joyously received. So what rest really means here is just not give it attention again. So it's really the same thing I've been saying. Be grateful for whenever you're in the right mind, be really grateful. And whenever you're in the wrong mind, just, you know, just kind of rest that part of yourself. Just rest your way right out of the wrong lane. I don't know if you guys understand what that means, rest. Sometimes people tell me they don't know what that means. Do you understand what I mean when I say just rest your way right out of the wrong lane? Yeah.
In fact, during this whole time, you know, I found myself pulling all those little things that you give us, like rest, acceptance, and trust.
Yes.
And all the things that we've learned and that I've latched onto it. Just accept what is and don't resist, you know, and all those things. I found myself just like they were coming and I grabbed it.
Very
good. Heated up then, you know.
Yeah, wonderful.
But anyway, I think the rest that you're talking about is, like you said, don't go there and start
giving it all your attention.
Giving it all the attention.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah, don't give it all. Don't get caught up in the story. Don't get caught up in judging yourself. You know, those are both ways of, you know, the more attention you give it, the more wound up it gets. So resting is kind of taking your attention away, but it's in a gentle way. I have known people who, I think probably because of a strong self-judgment, they're very fearful whenever they go into ego, whenever they slip into ego, and they'll remember things like rest, accept, and trust. But the way they do it comes from fear. It's almost like, oh, I'm bad if I give it attention. I can't give it attention. And like the whole energy of the way they're going about it isn't working. And that's why the word is rest. It has that symbol of gentleness in the word rest. So you want to rest away. You know, you want to gently take your attention away and you can place it on your breath, place it on your heart, place it on a mantra, but it can't be done harshly and out of fear. It has to be done, it's a gentle movement away. So you rest away from the mind, the wrong mind. Verses 16 to 19, Holy Spirit says, take my advice. Remember that it is your mind that you tend to. You are the leader of your own awakening. By your own decision, do you awaken? So let's go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 4. The peace of God is within. The peace of God is eternal, and it is never lost. The peace of God is realized and accepted based upon the power of your own decision. It is up to you. You may choose the peace of God, and you may choose turmoil. You make your choice based upon the desire that seems dearest to you. So both Priscilla and I mentioned that we've had something kind of difficult for us come up this week, and we both mentioned we haven't made a decision about it yet. And I think that in both of our cases, the not making a decision, the waiting until we know, is choosing the peace of God. And I think somewhere in us we know that. Like if there's something very hard in us making a firm, well, here's what I'm going to do, right? And so we know it's not right to make that decision at this point. And so our apparent indecision really isn't an indecision. It's a decision to wait until we know. Wait until something is revealed, you know? And when you choose to wait, Priscilla, don't you feel more peaceful?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. See, so she was so certain about that. So we're choosing the peace of God in this case by not making a decision. And so what this is saying is you can always, always choose the peace of God, or you could choose turmoil. You know, and that's what you kind of want to notice within yourself. Am I choosing the peace of God, or am I choosing turmoil? And sometimes making a decision about something in form is actually choosing turmoil. You know, because you don't know yet what you're supposed to choose. And so you need to wait until somehow it's revealed to you, until somehow you know. But you want to feel within yourself, and you want to feel what is turmoil, where am I hardening, and where am I softening, right? And you want to move towards the softening rather than towards the hardening. And so, and just feel that. Verses 4 to 7. Today is now. The mistake you make is thinking that today is tomorrow. And so you see your true desire, but you put it off until another time. Truly I tell you, if you do not choose the true desire of the heart now, it is because you believe that another desire may still be dearest to you. If you believe that another desire is dearest to the truth of your heart, you are sleeping, because you have forgotten who you are, and you have forgotten the truth of what you want. I can't really remember anymore, although I know I did. I can't really remember anymore putting off my true desire until tomorrow, because it's been so long that I now focus on it now. But I do know that when this came, that was true. It was kind of like I was saying, well, it's kind of like with the diet, you know, I'm going to eat today and tomorrow I'll start the diet, right? And while you're doing that, you gain 10, 15 more pounds. I used to kind of do that with this. It would be like, well, okay, tomorrow morning when I get up, you know, I'm gonna let go of this grievance and be different, right? Like, like not now, but tomorrow I'll be able to. And this is saying, no, you have to do it now. Now. You know, if you've ever been gonna diet tomorrow for a few months, you know how much weight you can gain doing that. It's really very, very similar with this. How much I'm going to call it suffering, you can gain by putting off until tomorrow, you know, following your true desire. So this is saying this is a matter of now. Right now you need to realize this is what you want. There's my phone, we'll ignore it. Right now you need to realize this is what you want. And right now make the choices that are helpful to your true desire. Verses 8 to 11. In your sleep, you do not remember the true desire of the heart is your true desire now, and so you do not practice it. But in the fluttering of your eyes, you do remember. In that state of consciousness that nears awakening, you step outside of dreams and remember, within the depths of your heart, that which is your true desire. And it's so funny that I really can't remember the specifics about what was going on with me when Hebrews came. But I do know, again, I was in that phase where I would totally forget. I mean, hours would pass. And I would be so caught up in the world that I wouldn't remember my true desire, wouldn't remember to watch my mind, wouldn't remember to look for the right mind and let go. I mean, I just wouldn't think about it at all. You know, hours would pass. And so that's what this is saying. It's saying in your sleep you don't remember. But when you do remember, you're waking up. You know, and so again, you're kind of going back and forth right now. And that's just the phase that you're in. But it's not like you don't ever remember. You remember sometimes, you know. So pay attention to the fact that you remember sometimes. It's kind of like look towards the positive, you could say. And then sentence 4 says, and so when you remember, act. Practice the true desire in each moment that you remember it, and you bring yourself closer to the state of full awakening. So sure, you went 6 hours today without watching your mind, you know, without even thinking about truth. But then suddenly you remembered. Well, in that moment, start practicing whatever your practice is. You know, start practicing letting go of the wrong mind, start practicing rest, accept, and trust, start practicing allowing things to be as they are, you know, accepting what is. When you remember, practice. You can't practice when you don't remember, but you can when you do. So take advantage of it in every moment that you remember. Verses 12 to 13. The Word of God is living and active. And the word of God within the state of awakening is this: let go of your dreams. For how shall you awaken except through the choice to let go of your dreams? In the awareness of your true desire, within the perception of your dreams, use the moment given to let go of your dreams. This is the practice of awakening. This is the way to open the mind to the state of full awakening. Now, he's using the word dreams here, but the teaching is a teaching that we see in many, many different spiritualities What he's really talking about is let go of desiring in the world. He's saying, how do you expect to awaken from the world if you're constantly desiring something else in the world? You know, whether you're chasing your next career, whether you're chasing your next material acquisition, whether you're chasing your next lover. You know, as long as there's something in the world you want, guess where your attention is? It's in the world. How can you, you know, you are the Son of God, right? You are so powerful, you can't even begin to fathom how powerful you are. And with that power, if what you want is something in the world, guess what you're going to get? The world. You can't wake up from the world and desire from the world too. So if you really want awakening, start practicing letting go of your worldly desires. That's what this is saying. Verses 14 to 16. You may approach each moment of awakening with confidence, because each moment is within the process that it is. You are awakening from your dreams. You are rousing yourself now. Celebrate the process you are within. Help yourself to awaken by joyously letting go of your dreams. I want to make sure, I think I might have skipped a paragraph. So I'm going to go back to verses 12 to 13 and just read through again. I think I might have skipped one paragraph, but I'm not sure. But we have time, so I'll just read it again. The Word of God is living and active, and the Word of God within the state of awakening is this: let go of your dreams. For how shall you awaken except through the choice to let go of your dreams? In the awareness of your true desire, with the perception of your dreams, within the perception of your dreams, use the moment given to let go of your dreams. This is the practice of awakening. This is the way to open the mind to the full state of awakening. Now, maybe I didn't skip that, but that, it doesn't hurt to read it again. You may approach each moment of awakening with confidence, because each moment is within the process that it is. You are awakening from your dreams. You are rousing yourself now. Celebrate the process you are within. Help yourself to awaken by joyously letting go of your dreams. So it is 20 till 8. I will give you guys a choice. We could either go one more chapter, or we could go ahead and stop here and we'd be finishing early. How do you feel? They're short chapters in Hebrews. So, but it's just up to, you know, we need to go at a pace that feels right. We don't want to feel rushed.
I think another chapter.
Is that all right? Okay, then we'll do Hebrews chapter 5. A great leader has compassion, and you are the leader within your mind. Be gentle with yourself in your own awakening. You are not slipping back into slumber. Apparently, I must have been really, really hard on myself during this state of going back and forth between the right mind and the wrong mind. And I don't think that's unusual.
No.
Okay, yeah. So he's saying, you know, have compassion. A good leader has compassion. Have compassion with yourself. It's very much like the Tao Te Ching. That's what we studied in the Tao this week, right?
Yeah. Be patient.
Yeah, have compassion with yourself. You know, you're not slipping back into slumber. You are awakening. That is what you are doing. But in this phase of awakening, you happen to go back and forth. But you know what? We all can remember a time when we didn't even know there was a right mind. Right? Right? We basically lived in the ego. So if you're in your ego, you know, 70% of the time, and you're in your right mind 30% of the time, isn't that improvement? Aren't you moving in the direction of awakening? So that's what is trying to be pointed out here. You know, you're being hard on yourself because you're not in the right mind all the time, but my God, you used to never be in the right mind.
It's a subtle distinction that shouldn't be overemphasized.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're doing a whole lot better than
that's right.
Potentially you could be not even going in that direction. So it's very subtle distinction not to be made too big a deal.
Yeah, yeah, you're moving in the right direction. Absolutely. Verses 4 to 6. Listen within for the gentle voice that encourages. Let that be your example. Be with yourself as that voice is with you, and you lead yourself steadily in your own awakening. So, there's a scripture in the Bible that says something like imitate God or imitate Christ. This is asking you to imitate Spirit, imitate Holy Spirit. You know, instead of chastising yourself, be gentle with yourself. You know, say, oh, you slipped there. Well, that's okay. Everybody slips, but now we're back. Let's take a breath. Let's rest, accept, and trust. It's really asking you to be the coach of yourself in a very loving and positive way. Verses 7 to 10. Your prayers of the heart encourage you. They pull you into the state of awakening. They are a power that echoes the desire of the heart, so desire may reverberate and bring itself back to you. Spend time in prayer, and you practice the practice of awakening. Spend time in prayer, and you jostle yourself into your own state of awakening. So this is really talking about the power of devotion, right? Because for a lot of people, prayer is a devotional practice. Once you know, one thing I love about prayer, at least the way I was taught to pray, is you bow your head. When you bow your head, think about it, your eyes are looking out before you bow your head. But when you bow your head, your eyes are almost looking towards your heart. It's like you're turning your attention to your heart, right? And you're now being with your heart. That's just wonderful. Yeah, that's just wonderful. So you bow your head, you turn your attention away from the world to the heart, and you be alone with your heart for a little bit every day. My God, that's got to be helpful. It certainly can't hurt.
In a full prostration, you physically put your head below your heart.
Below your heart. In a
full bow.
Yeah.
And so symbolically, it's along the lines of, you know, focusing on the heart.
Yeah, the heart is higher than the head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're actually, and that's a very powerful prostration. It's very, very powerful, especially if you do three of them after your meditation at some point.
Well, I've always thought, well, not always, ever since I've started the spiritual path, I've thought that's where we should all be Muslim, because the Muslims do that 5 times a day. You know, imagine if, not as a ritual, but imagine if 5 times a day we took time to pray. Mm-hmm. You know? Really pray. You know? It would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And don't you think our mind would be much more on God? And
we
would
be,
yeah.
That's what we need.
That's what we need. Yeah, that's what we need. And that's what this is saying. This is saying you really need more prayer. You need more time in devotion. You're not spending enough time in devotion. And when you spend your time in devotion, what was the word that were back here? Devotion pulls you into the state of awakening. Right? It pulls you right on in. Just like devotion's like a magnet. Right? Verses 11 to 14. Rest assured that sleep does not harm you. Forgive yourself when you notice you have fallen back into sleep. But realize this also. If you are noticing that you fell back into slumber for a time, then you are not within slumber now. Yeah. For you do not notice slumber when you are deep within it. If you are noticing now, now must be a state of awakening. Rejoice and use now to practice awakening. Through its practice, the state of awakening shall increase. And that will be enough for tonight. 3 chapters is plenty. But, you know, although we had a little bit of let go of your dreams, we had a whole lot of being gentle and being grateful. So what do you think? You think that should be the assignment, to be gentle with ourselves if we slip and to be grateful every time we notice that we're in the right mind? Yeah, be gentle with ourselves if we slip, and then be grateful every time we notice we're in the right mind.
And we have 2 weeks to practice.
That's true. 2 weeks. Very good. Yeah, because I'll be in Santa Barbara. I'm going there for a retreat. So I leave. Well, I'm the one who planned the retreat. I'm not the speaker. I have other speakers, but I'm the one that's got to make it all happen. So, but I am going to be taking some personal retreat time. Part of the retreat is silent in the morning, and what I'm going to be doing while I'm there, I still have to check email because I have things happening. I have people registering for MPP and stuff, but I'm only going to check once every 24 hours. And so that will be a significant retreat compared to what I do now. Yeah, so that will be nice. I'm going to take advantage of it. It would be a waste of time to go if I didn't. All right, so I will turn off the recorder and we'll have a little bit of silence.